الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين.
أما بعد, my dear brothers and sisters, I want to remind myself and you about the fact that all the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are for people of taqwa. There is no promise for anyone who has no taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in many places, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the Quran, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. The hidayat is for the people of taqwa. In another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the people of taqwa and He is with the people of ihsan, people who work to the level of excellence. And so on in many places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised His help, He has promised His protection, He's promised support for people of taqwa. And therefore, it is very important for us to understand what is taqwa. Inshallah, today's lecture in the afternoon also is on the same subject, but I thought let's begin and sort of start off and think about this. Sooner we think, the better. Now, taqwa is the manifestation in action of iman. Iman is the belief. Taqwa is the expression of that belief. So we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's why in another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. The people who say that Allah is our Rabb and then they stay on that with istiqamat. That ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, that staying with istiqamat is taqwa. So taqwa is to fulfill the conditions of iman. And the first and foremost condition of iman is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to be obeyed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to be obeyed without question. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to be obeyed joyfully and happily without question. The position of the believers is, سَمَعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. There is no argument and there is no hesitation and there is no rebellion. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders, we do, and we do it with pleasure. Now, taqwa is generally translated to mean fear of Allah. And as I mentioned this many times before, many of you have heard this from me, that fear is a negative emotion. We dislike the things we fear. For example, you might fear cancer, but nobody loves cancer. You fear cancer and therefore you hate cancer. You want to get rid of cancer. You might fear a dictator. You might fear a evil ruler. You don't love that evil ruler. You want to get rid of that evil ruler as quickly as possible. And while the ruler is there, you fear him. Because fear comes because of the expectation of evil from that source. Children fear a teacher in the school. Why? Because the teacher punishes them, the teacher is nasty to them and so on. So they fear the evil that comes from that source. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with respect to the believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ هُبَّا لِلَّهِ. Allah said, but the believers are those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to a level of, to a superlative level. They love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything else. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ هُبَّا لِلَّهِ. So how do we put these two together? If the believers love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they love Allah more than anything else, then how can they also fear Allah at the same time? Because love does not produce fear, love produces something else. And the way to understand that is that because you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you fear to displease Him. You fear to disobey Him, you fear to displease Him, because you don't want to displease the one you love. Now if you take this explanation, then the more you love Allah, the more you will fear to displease Him. So the more there is hubb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more the taqwa of the individual. So a person who loves Allah more, there's nobody who loved Allah more than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there's no one whose taqwa was higher than the taqwa of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the more the hubb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more the khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more the taqwa, the fear of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. The other thing also which is related with taqwa and which we need to develop within ourselves, and that's why if you want to say how can I increase my taqwa, which is to have a yaqeen in the akhirah, the meeting with Allah. And as I said yesterday, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this specifically in a particular way, and he said yarjullaha wal yawm al-akhirah. People who look forward to that day, people who want that day, people who look forward to meeting with Allah, they're not running away from that meeting. They're not going to that meeting with some sense of dislike. I really don't want to go. No, they want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They want to see the jalwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So people, if you increase your yaqeen in the akhirah, then naturally if you want to meet Allah, and if you have the yaqeen and if you have the complete certainty that you will meet Allah, then naturally you want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu in a state where He is pleased with you. If I want to meet Allah, I don't want to meet Allah when He is displeased with me. So I want to make sure that I do not do anything which angers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that when I meet Him, I meet Him in a state where He is happy with me, where He is not unhappy. So therefore, what do? I try to save myself from all the things that displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, number one. Number two, I frequently make tawbah. Because irrespective of how much I try to save myself, maybe there are some things that I end up doing anyway, some mistakes I make, some things which I should not be doing, I do. So therefore, I also make tawbah. It's very important for us to do that continuously. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that about himself. He said, I myself make tawbah 70 times. 70 times a day. And the sahaba, sometimes they counted and they said that we counted up to 100. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make istighfar. That he used to make istighfar 70, 75 times, 100 times per day. Right? So, therefore, I imagine what we should be doing. Of course, the whole issue of what is the meaning of tawbah with respect to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was masoom, who was free from sin, that's a different issue, and that's for the increase of darajat and so forth. But as far as we are concerned, we are certainly not masoom, so therefore we have to make sure that we constantly seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So taqwa is this sense. Taqwa also, the sign of taqwa also is that if you have yaqeen in meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if you have this concern that we should not offend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, should not displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taqwa also creates a situation where a person is aware of the fact, aware of the existence of Allah. He is aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala watching him. He is aware that whatever he is saying or doing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about this in real time. There is no time lag between what you say and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's awareness of it. So in real time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of what the person is seeing and doing. Now again, like I mentioned yesterday, how do I love Allah, I asked you a question. The question was, what was the question? Do you know about Allah or do you know Allah? And there is a difference. You know about Allah and do you know Allah? And that way, in the same way I'm asking myself and you this question, are you aware that Allah knows or are you aware of Allah? One is to have intellectual knowledge. We know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, huwa al-alim al-khabir, so He knows, huwa sami'u al-basir, He knows. So we know this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, we do not deny it. But are you actually aware that He is watching now? Right now. And that is the state about which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Hadith Jibreel, when Jibreel alayhi wa sallam asked him about ihsan, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Antabudallaha ka annaka tara. That is the meaning of that, which is to say that actual awareness, that an awareness produces some result in the body, right? If you feel Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually watching, then your vital signs change. Your heartbeat increases. Maybe tears come into your eyes. Allahu alam. Or some condition in the body will tell you. This is not, and that's the reason why these things are matters of mashq. This is not something just to listen in one for a fajr reminder and go away. It's something to practice. It's something to practice. So sit and reflect and think and say that, you know, am I aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me? Am I aware of this? If I'm aware of this, then what is the sign inside me? How do I know? How do I know that I'm aware? Right? So this is the, these are the sort of pointers and things to watch watch with respect to taqwa. Final point with taqwa is that taqwa is to avoid the doubtful. Yeah? Taqwa is to avoid the doubtful. And the hadith again, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Al-halalu bayyin, wal-haramu bayyin, wa baynahuma mushtabihat. Awkama qala alayhi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, the halal is clear and the haram is clear, and between them are the doubtful things. Then he said, leave that which is doubtful for that which is not doubtful. So taqwa is to leave that which is doubtful. What is haram? What we know to be haram, we know to be haram. But what we are not sure of, right? And today when we talk about taqwa and fatwa, I will specifically mention some of the things that we do on a routine basis without thinking, where we eat things and where we drink things and so on, and means of earning, which are highly, highly doubtful. Right? And that's the reason why, like yesterday, Maulana was saying that it seems in the dua, of course, those of you who know Urdu, he said in this dua, he said that it looks like our duas go and they are blocked. They do not go beyond the doors of the heavens. Yeah? And this is a fact. This is wallahi. May Allah protect us. This is actually a fact that we make a lot of dua, but we don't see the effect of the dua. You know? And one of the reasons for that is Muslims are eating haram. You and I certainly am not eating, so I am not going to include myself in this, but whoever else, right? We are eating haram. We are drinking haram. And that haram is not deliberate. I am not saying we are eating pork, but you are eating and drinking things which are doubtful. Which are doubtful. And I will give you in the lecture this evening, I will give you actual data, specific data. I'm not just making accusations. I'll give you specific data of what doubtful stuff you are eating. And believe me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept the du'as of people who eat haram. It's as simple as that. Allah does not accept. You can cry till the cows come home, makes no difference. Allah will not accept the du'a if you are eating haram. So that's why it's very, very important for us to ensure that we do not eat or drink anything which is haram. I mentioned to you the other day also in the Fajr reminder, the quote of Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, who was known for his dua. Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu was known for his dua. There was a woman in Medina who was spreading all kinds of slander about Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu and you know, accusing him falsely and so on. And he warned her many times, but she did not listen and so on. So Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu made dua and said, oh Allah, free me from her oppression. And the woman fell into a well and died. So this is only one. I mean, many other du'as. And they asked him, they said, what is the secret? I mean, how is it that you make dua and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts your dua? And Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu said that I do not eat or drink anything. He said, nothing passes my lips. He said, nothing passes my lips except that I know what it is and I know where it came from. He said, nothing passes my lips except that I know what it is and I know where it came from. And so therefore, what do you say about, just to give you one of the things that I'm going to mention this again in the afternoon, what do you say about all the stuff that you drink, Coke and Pepsi, for example? You know perfectly well. I mean, I'm not even talking about various quotes that come to say that there is alcohol in it. Forget the alcohol. Forget the alcohol. What you do know for a fact is that both Coke and Pepsi have a secret formula. Yes or no? Yeah? Have a secret formula. Absolutely. That's their key. They have a secret formula. How can a Muslim drink something which has a secret formula? Very simple question. How can you drink? Secret means what? You don't know what it is, right? So how can you drink it? If you don't know what it is, maybe it is Zamzam, Allah Alam. The secret formula is probably Zamzam. But you don't know that. I'm just saying. It's a secret formula, so you don't know this. So if you don't know, how do you drink it? So where is the taqwa? So now you might be saying, well, what to do with all the bottles of Pepsi that you already bought in the fridge? And I'll tell you what to do, right? When you go home, every night, pour one bottle of Pepsi into your toilet and leave it there, and in the morning you flush your toilet, you will have nice and shiny clean toilets. Because Coke and Pepsi are excellent toilet cleaners. Right? Now you have got used to drinking toilet cleaners, that's your problem, but they are very good toilet cleaners. That's one thing I can vouch for. Absolutely excellent toilet cleaners. Use them for the purpose for which they are meant. By all means, buy Coke and Pepsi, use it as a toilet cleaner, no problem, right? Don't drink this stuff. Don't drink toilet cleaners. Allah has given you juices and Allah has given you water and Allah has given you, pure things. Instead of that, you want to drink this junk. So, be very, very clear. As far as taqwa is concerned, there's only one example. Inshallah, the afternoon we'll talk about more. But, avoiding the doubtful. This is from taqwa. And the last point of taqwa is to give precedence to what Allah loves over what you love. And I will discuss that also in detail in the afternoon, meaning of why we love and so on. We'll talk about that. But it is to give precedence to what Allah loves over what we love. So for each of us, in that sense, taqwa will mean something different. For example, somebody who likes to watch television programs, right? Bollywood, Tollywood, Hollywood, all kinds of woods. For you who love to watch all those programs, soap operas and TV serials and so forth, to give up that is a struggle. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like you to be watching that. So, for you to give up that will be a struggle. Right? Now, for me, it's no struggle. I don't like to watch that stuff anyway. So, for me, there's no struggle at all. So, I will have to look for something else. And say, what is there which I am doing, and may Allah protect me from that, which Allah does not like, but which I like. And I need to give up that. So each one of us, and that's my request to you, is reflect on this and say, in each one of us, in each of our lives, there will be something different. Everyone will not have the same thing. Right? So each one of us will have something different. And that something different is something that you must give up in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not the same thing for everyone. For each one, it will be something else. And that is a sign of taqwa. To say that, yes, I will give up something which I like to do because my Rabb does not like me to do that. So, for my Rabb, I am giving up this thing. Right? Even though I love doing it. And as I said, it has to be something that you love, because otherwise, there's no issue of giving it up. And that is also what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised that, because He said, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. Allah said that you cannot reach the level of birr, you cannot reach the level of high level of piety until you give up something which you love. Until you spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala something which you love. Not something which you don't like, not something which doesn't matter, no, something which you actually like. And there are the stories of the Sahaba, we'll talk about that in the afternoon, of what they actually did. And this was one of the many differences between us and the Sahaba, where when an ayah like this was revealed, the Sahaba immediately put it into practice. They did not just take the ayah and say, Alhamdulillah, Allah says this. No. Now they went to look for what is it that I love the most? I will take it and I will give it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because I want to get close to Allah. Whole issue of birr and piety and so on is what? Getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, I want to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has a ticket. There's a ticket price. There's a price to pay for it. So here is the money. Here is the price. For some people it will be money. For some people it will be giving up some sleep. For some people it will be doing something else. For some people maybe it is control of your anger. Right? It's not the same thing for everybody. Some people control of anger. Maybe some people go completely insane when, something happens and they get so angry that they lose all hosh. Right? So, for them, that is the issue. Can you stop doing that? It's not so much money and so on, so they may be generous people, but they have this short fuse. So, for each of us, it will be something different. So I remind myself and you, let us try to focus on that, on these things, let's try to reflect on them, and try to develop taqwa, because the benefits of taqwa is the ma'iyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is insha'Allah or musta'an, we ask Allah for this, is to be included in the list of the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to be resurrected with the abrar and with the pious people and with the salihin and the shuhada on the day of judgment, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's what Allah will do with the muttaqeen. And to have the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have this power in dua, that if you ask for something, Allah will give it. If you ask for something, Allah will give it. This must mean something, this thing must have some value for us. That we believe in, and we see in our own lives the effect of that. That we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala something, and Allah will give it to us. Right? So please make sure you do that, and let us try to reflect on this, and let's try to inculcate this within ourselves. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.